Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey everyone, well, it's always a delight to be bringing a devotional, and I love the Word of God. Couldn't think of anything greater to do actually than to sit down and do a Bible study. It's one of the most beautiful things on earth, and it's like there's so much treasure in the Scriptures that we can uncover simply through studying, meditating, and reading through the Bible. It is food for the soul. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This book is phenomenal. We're not doing a Bible study on the Bible per se right now, but the fact that it was written over 2,000 years by 40 different authors over three continents and yet never actually contradicts itself, always speaks with the common theme of salvation. It is an astonishing array of authors, from kings to shepherds to fishermen to tent makers, who were touched by God to bring inspired writings for every human on earth to get into their soul. And as we read the Word, it feeds our spirit. I want to talk to you today in this devotional out of Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, which is a psalm essentially about the Scriptures and how they are to come into our lives. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Okay, so the first step of getting blessed, of living blessed, is to know what the things are that we should not do. Blessed is the man who walks not. To walk is to take steps. That's making decisions. I'm not going to walk and take steps and make decisions in the advice and the counsel that's ungodly, that's telling me to do wrong things or things that are askew to the Word of God. The second says he doesn't stand in the path of sinners. So there are people who are doing wrong things in life. And to be blessed, we need to make a decision. I'm not going to stand in that place. And the last one is nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So essentially, this first verse of Psalm 1 is saying, choose your associations, because your relationships determine your future. Your relationships determine your spiritual quality of life. And he is saying here, choose not to walk, stand, or sit. I mean, by that third verse, he's definitely gotten comfortable. And he's sitting down with people who mock, scornful people. And I've got to tell you, when you're around people who are mocking good things, mocking life, mocking other people, it's a sour spirit. And bitterness is never going to get you far in life. We get bitter or get better when we go through trials. And the weight of the Word of God in us is going to determine whether we get to the other side. Okay, so now comes the but, verse 2. He doesn't do that, but what he does do, he loves the Bible, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, speaking of Scripture. And in his law, he meditates day and night. So let's think about this. We have a but in our world. We could be doing this, but we decide to do that. Reading Scripture should be a daily part of our lives. But I don't think we should just read the Scripture. I think there are various ways that we can receive it. We can read it. We can hear it. We can study it. We can memorize it. They're all very important ways to receive Scripture. But I think the thumb of the grip on the Word of God is meditation. So when we grip the Word with meditation and we hold it fast in our heart, the Bible says we will not sin against God. When I made the Word a part of my life, I got it deep in my heart, then I didn't go wrong. And I got food in my soul. I sail a bit, and I've been way over on a yacht, way over. I've been underwater at the wheel in very rough big waves and big storms. And under the water, holding onto the wheel, you are trusting that that keel, which has got tons of weight in it, is going to bury back down in the ocean and upright you. That's like Scripture. If we've got Scripture deep down in our soul, if we capsize, the weight of the Word is going to actually upright us again. We need to make sure that the level of the Word of God in our lives is equal to the problems that we're facing and equal to the responsibilities that we have in life. So if my Word level is here and my problems are there, I'm going to get overwhelmed. But if my Word level is there and my problem is there, I'm equal to it. Colossians says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we got to spend time getting His Word into us and not the words of the world. It's important to know what your spiritual state is, to do a self-analysis, a diagnosis of your spiritual life. And if it's going low, you'll always find a love for Scripture goes with it. It fades. We're not that interested. Yeah, I'll read it some other time. I'll go to church and let somebody else preach it. But when we are fully on fire and we are ablaze for God, when there's a passion in our heart for God, we will love the Bible. We will love Scripture. It will be the chief of our delights. We will hunger for it like a man who's desperate for food. We'll have a hunger and appetite, not only for the Word, but also for the Spirit, for God Himself. The way to get it back, the way to get the love for the Word of God back, is to get into the Word and to rediscover the nectar, the nourishing life, the honey, the sweetness, the fat that comes out of Scripture into your soul, the food that gets in there. Suddenly you are feeling healed and whole because of the power of God's words getting into you. We live in a very fast age. Everything is quick. Level of attention is short. Recent studies said that our attention span of humans is now lower than that of a goldfish. It's like 7 seconds, whereas a goldfish has 9 seconds. To concentrate on one thing for more than 7 seconds is outside our range of focus now. So when you're listening to a person talk to you and then you start to think of something else while they're talking, that's your limit of attention span. When you're reading something in Scripture and your mind goes off to something else, or you're just always going all over the place with your head, you'll find that when we live like that, your brain controls your life. And what you're thinking about, what you're feeling, is going to be dictated by your thoughts. But you can get control of your thoughts, of your mind. You can get control of the way you think and of what you think about. And it's through meditation. Now, Eastern meditation speaks about emptying your mind. Christian meditation is exactly the opposite. It's about filling your mind with a Scripture. Now, I'm into Bible reading programs where you read the Bible in a year, and I do that. However, I think that if that was all I did, there'd be too many days when it'd be difficult for me at the end of the day to tell you what I read at the start of the day. But when I meditate on a Scripture, I just take one Scripture. sometimes half a scripture, and I meditate on it, then it feeds into my spirit. How do you meditate? Well, you repeat the scripture in your mind. You just keep saying it over and over again. It's like a cow that chews its cud 30,000 times in a day. It swallows it, then brings it back up again with its many different stomachs. It just keeps on bringing up that bolus, re-chews it, and it goes back down. And you will find that if you meditate on a scripture at the beginning of the day, it will keep recovering in your mind. It'll come back to you. And as you chew on it, it goes from your mind to your spirit. Now, I sit with a pencil in my hand, that one scripture, best in a paper Bible, if you're too distracted within a computer or your device, and just think on that one scripture. Like this scripture, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you were to sit and think that through, you'd find God starts to speak to you. And you'd find that as you meet those circumstances where you're being tempted into a situation where your spiritual life is being compromised or your values are called into question by, you know, some kind of dodgy way of life, and you've got associations in your world that are trying to drag you down and not build you up, that you'll find the strength from that scripture will come into your soul to make the decisions that call for a level of courage that wasn't there before. That's what I'm saying. When your level of the word is equal to the level of your challenges in life, you'll beat them. But if the word is low, it's not bringing that life and strength into your soul that empowers you to actually live out the scripture. Scripture is like a seed. When you plant a seed in the ground, an apple seed, you get an apple tree. If I plant the seed of the Word of God, Luke 8:11 says the seed is the Word of God. When that seed goes into the soil of my soul, my spirit, my inner man, and I meditate on it, it waters it. In Isaiah 55, God says, my word shall be like rain from heaven, and it should be like the seed in the earth. And as I meditate on scripture, it rains on the seed. And if I planted an apple tree, I'm going to get an apple seed, I'm going to get an apple tree. If I plant a scripture like that, that's the tree I'm going to grow. If I plant a tree of a seed of provision or faith or love or hope in there, that's the trees that I'm going to grow as I meditate on the Word of God. In His law, He meditates day and night. I repeat that scripture over in my mind again and again until it breaks open. When I first get a scripture and I'm reading it, it can seem like there's nothing in here. That's just, why don't I find something more interesting? But as you stay focused on that scripture and think about it, you will find the Holy Spirit starts to rest on that scripture because it's present in your mind. And He will take it and break it open, and it will be like light deep down on your, in your inner man. Psalm 119, verse 30 says, the entrance of your word gives light. Now, that is not just talking about seeing the Bible or seeing scripture. It's about the entrance. When the Word of God enters our soul, it gives light. In James 1:21, He says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which contains the power, the Amplified Bible says, to save your souls. So the Word of God has the power to transform us, to save our souls, if we will receive it and let it go to the deepest parts of our soul. Trying to live the Christian life without the Word of God inside our spirit is impossible. We live by the Word of God coming into our lives. 2 Timothy 2:15, to leaders and to preachers and to teachers, Paul says to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. but shun profane and idle babblings, because they just increase ungodliness. So he's saying, shun that so that you can get this. And he's saying, present yourself approved to God like a man who can rightly divide the word. So actually the word there in Greek is to butcher. Now, I've been to India way back in the 70s. I went there on a missions trip, and they had some black market beef that they were going to give me. So it was an interesting experience because they didn't know how to cut it up. So they cut it with the grain, not across the grain. The cows are sacred animals in India, and so they weren't for sale. These guys somehow got it and felt that was okay as Christians just to give me, and it was a big honor for them to give me beef. And when I went into the hut, I looked down into the dark and I couldn't see much, but there was a woman banging this piece of meat on the floor, trying to tenderize it. But it was the cut, the way that it had been divided, that made it tough. And I was chewing that piece of beef for 3 days. The thing is, if we are to teach the word of God, we need to be able to cut it and divide it and cook it properly. And then it will be deeply appetizing, nutritional, and attractive to the spirit of a believer. Here's the thing. If I was to throw raw meat out at a congregation on a Sunday, people say, that's disgusting. But if I was having a barbecue and I'm cooking the beef, cooking sausages, people are attracted to that smell. And that's like the word of God. When a pastor or a teacher cooks that word in their life, the smell of barbecue meat is incredible. Bread's the same. If I was to give you dough and said, eat this, this is beautiful. Tasting dough uncooked is disgusting. But if you cook that in an oven, like if you're out jogging 5 o'clock in the morning, you smell a baker's oven with bread in it, you'll do anything to say, I'm going to get some of that. The smell is so compelling. And I believe part of a compelling church and compelling ministry is that we have fresh bread and beef that's baking. I mean, that Old Testament tabernacle must have smelt incredible because they had beef burning all day long. Just amazing. And you know what? Even the incense, it said that when they burned the incense in the tabernacle, you could smell it 25 kilometers away, down at Jericho. And Paul refers to this. He says, to some it's the smell, it's a beautiful smell. To others, it's the smell of death, because the Israelites were coming and they could smell this conquering smell. And for us, though, in a church, in our own Christian life, if we have the Word of God, we've been meditating on Scripture, and we've managed to get it from our brain to our heart, we managed to get it from here to our spirit, it's like light when it comes out of our soul, when we share it, when we teach it. It's food for people in their spirit, and it's an aroma that makes everybody just smell compelling. God bless you. Trust you've enjoyed this devotion. We'll be back soon.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram @C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.